We do have a team from our church going down to Mexico. They're on the road right now. They left at 6 o'clock this morning. There's about 15 people going down there, and we are going to be serving a home for orphans and disabled people. It's going to be a powerful, powerful trip, so remember them in prayer. They'll be back next week. They're going to be down there for a week. What a joy it is to take God's truth everywhere, right? Grand County, Colorado, United States, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, right? Let's turn this morning in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 29. Book of Proverbs chapter 29. Very, very important verse here. Gives us great insight into our lives and the importance of what it means to have vision. Helen Keller, years ago, before she died, had been blind all of her life. And someone asked her about how it was to be blind. And she says, you know, there's a lot worse things than being blind. One of the worst things is having sight but no vision. We need vision. Vision is being able to see what God is doing and what He wants to do. And that's what this verse talks about. Here in verse 18, Proverbs 29, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Where there is no prophetic vision, people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Some of your Bibles say, where there is no vision, for lack of vision, the people perish, but blessed is the one who keeps the law of God. That verse is very, very important for us. Vision, where there is no vision, prophetic vision means the revelation of God. Vision literally means that which is seen. That which is seen. Biblically, it's a revelation from God. God revealing himself, revealing his plan, revealing his character and his nature to us. And where the people have no vision, where they cannot see what God wants us to see, we cast off restraint. The Hebrew word there literally means to run wild. To run wild. So if there's no focus in our life, if there's no understanding of our purpose here or where we're going, why should we exercise self-control? What's the purpose? And so we cast off restraints and we run wild. Aren't we glad that's not happening today in America? Yikes. Okay? Where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. Having vision to see what God wants to accomplish in and through our lives, individually and corporately, gives us the motivation to pursue Him, to pursue His plan for us, and then to submit to the restraints and the disciplines it takes to accomplish God's plan, His purpose in our life, to see what He wants to do. God's got a plan for us individually and corporately. How many know that you're here with a purpose? You're not here just to mark time. We're not here just to work towards retirement. There's no retirement in the Bible. Refirement, yes. Retirement, no. Okay? We got another day to live because God's got a purpose in this day. And to understand that is of paramount importance. Not only individually, but corporately. There are about 10 evangelical churches in Grand County. And we know all the pastors are all great friends of mine. In fact, we all meet once a month, pray together, and we have great unity in the church up here. And I can tell you, every one of the churches up here are doing something the other churches are not doing. They're reaching people that no other church can reach. There's a church up here, a couple churches, that they just attract young people like a magnet, the 20-somethings and 30-somethings. And they just have always done that up here. Yes, we have young people in all of our churches, but they have a special ministry to young people. In fact, that church was established back in the 70s as an outreach to the young people in the community. There's another church up here that they just attract older, retired people. They've always wanted young people. They've always wanted children, but most of the time, that's all they've had through the years. I've been up for 25 years. That's basically what they have. Some have outreaches into the community that others don't have. Our church, God has grown us through the years to be a family church. We have a lot of families, a lot of young families, a lot of children, probably over 100 children just in our church. And God has blessed us with that, one of the unique things, as well as many others. So every church has a calling from God. And God accomplishes that calling through the people He leads to that church. How many of you know you're searching for a church and all of a sudden you say, okay, this is where we can grow. This is where God wants us to be. Okay, that's God has you there. Not everybody's going to go to one church. So to be able to see, God, what is it that you have for us? What do you want to accomplish through our lives is of paramount importance. Centuries ago, there was a heathen, an idol worshiper, down in southern Iraq. And God revealed himself to this man. His name was Abram. He was an idol worshiper. Didn't know God, didn't know the true God. Very polytheistic. Worshipped all kinds of idols. But God revealed himself to this man, Abram, in such a way that Abram woke up. And God says, move, pack your stuff up, and start traveling, and I'll tell you where you're going to go. And he did. And he left the Ur of the Chaldees, and he got to the land of Canaan. And when he got there, he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know if that's the place he should have stopped. And God appeared to Abram and said, Abram, lift up your eyes. Look to the north, to the west, to the south, to the east. As far as you can see, Abram, I'm giving you this land. What was God doing? He was imparting vision to Abram. Vision. I'm going to do something great through you, Abram. Then a couple, that was in Genesis 13, the account. Genesis 15, a little time later, it's nighttime. God comes to Abram again and says, Abram, Abram, look at the stars. Count the stars. Count the stars, Abram. He's probably thinking, you got to be kidding. He says, count the stars. So shall your descendants and your offspring be. I'm going to do something great through your life. What was he doing? Imparting vision to Abram. And it says, Abram believed God. Believe God. It was counted to him as righteousness. We need vision to see what God wants to do. Jesus is walking down the shore of Galilee. Sees two young men working with their nets. They're in a fishing business. They were fishermen. Their parents were probably fishermen. Their grandparents were fishermen. They were going to be fishermen, and their kids were going to be fishermen. That's all they knew was fishing. And Jesus comes by, and he says, Peter, Andrew, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. What was Jesus doing there? Planting vision into them. Peter was in a boat, and he comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, get away from me. I'm an evil man. Jesus says, get up, Peter. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I've got something great to do through your life, Peter. They left everything immediately and followed Jesus. Do you think many in the body of Christ lack vision today? What do you want to do, Lord? Every day, God has something. He's got a plan and a purpose. I personally believe, do not believe in luck or chance. I believe in a God that ordains and allows things in our life according to his plan and purpose. As Christians, the Bible says all things work together for good for a certain group of people. Not for everybody. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Not all things work together for good for everybody, but for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, all things work together for good. God does that. Isn't that awesome to know the Lord? No, he's good. Every day I get up, Lord, I know you got good things in mind. Regardless of the challenges, unexpected adversities that are going to come my way, you got a purpose for me to live today. There's people you want me to see. You want me to come across. You want to cross my path with. There's a design, and I'm so honored to be a part of your work. Vision. That's what motivates us. Gives us the desire to do what God wants us to do. Well, this morning, in the pew there, you have these little cards. You can take a look at that. Some of you have been with us many, many years, and you know this, but we haven't done this for a long time. As you open this up, this welcome card, there's different things in there, but one of the things that's in there is it says there's a welcome to Winter Park Christian, and then it says our vision. See our vision there? And then it's got four things underneath that. Years ago, probably about 20 years ago now, people started coming to me, and I never had this happen before. People started coming and say, Pastor Doug, what's the vision of this church? And my answer was always the same, Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all I've commanded you, and I'm with you to the end of the age. I said, that's our vision, to make disciples, and to grow. And they said, yeah, but what does that mean to us? And I said, it means just what it says. But they seemed to be wanting more. And so I thought, well, Lord, because we're a non-denominational church, and as most of you know, non-denominational churches come in more flavors than Baskin and Robbins, okay? And you never know quite what you're getting in a non-denominational church. And different churches have different focuses. And so they said, well, what's this church about? So we came up with this right here. The first time I heard this phrase was from Lauren Cunningham, a founder of Youth with a Mission. He might have got it from somebody else or God gave it to him, I don't know, but I like it. And this is what our vision is. We are committed to knowing Christ and to make him known to others. Very simply. We're committed to knowing him. Knowing him, not just an intellectual acknowledgement of believing in him. To know him. How many are thankful God can be known? Not in his fullness, not perfectly, but he can be known. We can know his will, his character, his nature, how he thinks, what he desires. Praise God for that. Jesus said in John 17, he says, "This is eternal life, that they know you, Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent." There's only one true God, and Jesus has come to make Almighty God known. So knowing him is where the life is. So we are committed to knowing Christ and then to make him known to others. How many know that today there are a lot of people trying to make God known who really don't know him and they're misrepresenting him out in the world? Okay? We need to know him in his fullness in order to rightly represent him to the world so that we're not teaching and promoting something that is not true and accurate. How do we get to know him? There's two ways that God reveals himself. Only two in the Bible that speaks to this. Number one, his creation, called general revelation. Romans chapter 1 says, God's eternal, his invisible nature, his eternal power and deity have been clearly perceived in the things that he's made. And those of you who have those seats looking out at the mountains there, great. God's nature is clearly seen in the things that he's made. So general revelation. The second way God reveals himself is what's called special revelation. And that's through Jesus Christ and his word, the living word. So God reveals himself so we can know that God exists through the things he's made. Then we specifically know him through his word. If we do not know the word, we won't know God. So the word is paramount, and it's very important in our church that we know the word and study the word. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. So we're committed to knowing God and making him known. Then, when I shared that, the people said, well, how are we going to accomplish that? Well, I was thinking through study and through fellowship and through youth groups and adult studies. And they said, yeah, but how are we going to do this? And so we came up with an acrostic for Winter Park Christian Church, WPCC. And everything that we do in this church comes from these four areas. Everything. To worship the Lord, to celebrate his presence, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ everywhere, to consecrate our lives to him through obedience to his word, and to commit ourselves, find our place of service, commit ourselves to his service. Everything we do falls into one of those categories. To worship, proclaim, consecrate, and commit. So if anybody and we're going to be talking about this all summer. We're going to go into these areas and what they mean, because it's very important to understand that, to understand where we are as a church, what we feel like God wants to accomplish through our lives, and we're going to get more specific of that as we go through this summer, so that you know that. But also we're able to see what God wants to do and give ourselves to that, fully to that. This could also be called Christianity 101 or Kindergarten Christianity, because the things we're talking about are very basic. But you know what? It is important to master the basics. It's important. This year, Denver Broncos got a new wide receiver. Looking forward to this year. But that wide receiver is going to have a coach, a wide receiver coach, professional coach, coaching a professional player. And you know one of the first things he's going to tell that player? He's going to tell that player something that player learned in the sixth grade football. That's what he's going to tell him as a professional coach. He's going to tell him something that he learned when he was in the sixth grade that he's still emphasizing. You know what that is? Before you run upfield, make sure you catch the ball. Look it into your hands when the pass comes. Make sure you got it before you look upfield. Because if you don't and you look upfield too soon, you're going to drop the ball, right? Basic football. Basic football. But you have to continue to master the basics. And so it is with Christianity. Firm foundation we have. So that's what we're going to do this summer. We're going to look at some of the basics of our faith, but also what God's called us to. Let's just summarize this. It's going to be a big brushstroke this morning. But let's look at these areas. Number one, we exist to worship the Lord and celebrate his presence. How do we worship God? What does it mean to worship God? Well, the Bible is very clear about this. Number one, we worship God through our lives every day through the choices that we make. It is a worship of God. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. See that? It's our spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable to God and perfect before God. To discern the will of God. How do we know the will of God? It's revealed in His Word. Knowing that, we lay down our lives on the altar. We surrender our lives to Him every day. Lord, we worship God by saying, today, Lord, not what I want, but what you want. Not my will, but your will. Not my agenda, but your agenda. I've planned my way, but you direct my steps. It's a surrender to God and what He wants. That's worship. That is worship. We lay it on our lives, surrendering as living sacrifices. You know the problem with the living sacrifice is? Keeps crawling off the altar. So we got to put the living sacrifice back on the altar. Another way that we worship is by knowing His presence. We're going to talk about that this summer. Jesus says, teach them to obey all I've commanded you, and I am with you to the end of the age. What does it mean that God's presence is with us? Moses, when he was going up to Egypt, he said, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with me, I don't want to go. What are we talking about? We're going to learn about that. Also, His power within us. Ephesians chapter 2 says, now to Him who is able to do more abundantly than all that we can ask or think according to His power that is at work within us. More, God is able to do more than we can imagine and think. How much is that? And how does He do that? Through His power in us. What does it mean to have His power in us? It's part of understanding worship of God. To understand His presence and His power just causes worship to flow every day to Him. Like David said, every day, Lord, I will praise You and bless Your name forever and ever. Every day. And then lastly, through our gathering together, corporate worship. That's why these are called worship services. The whole service is a worship time. Okay, not just music. We worship God with our minds, our hearts. You know, worship is about giving to God the praise and the glory that He's due, right? So when we come to church, church is all about giving to the Lord. We come to give. And we've talked about this before, those of you who are part of our church. Coming on Sunday mornings is not a time to get, it's a time to give. Now, God gives to us, praise God. But we don't come with a what's in it for me mentality. A lot of people go to church and they say, well, I'm just going to see if I get something out of service. You know what that's called? A consumer mentality. Is this product going to benefit me? If not, I'm not going to buy it. That's a consumer mentality. We don't come to get, we come to give. We come to give God praise, give God worship in songs, give Him our tithes and our offerings, acknowledging Him as our sole provider, giving Him our ears, listening and learning. It's a time to give to God. And when we come with that kind of an attitude, God always gives to us back. Give and it will be given to you. See, so what is, we'll talk about that. What is worship? Church was never meant to be something we attend. Oh, I attend church over here. I attend. Church isn't something we attend. Church is something we are. We are the body of Christ, right? We are the church. It's not something we go to. We are the church. What that means in our worship. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 2 to look at the significance of this. Just one point here this morning. We're not going to get into this very deep at all because we'll do that later through the weeks. But Ephesians 2, very important verse, understanding why we come together in this whole definition of worship. In Ephesians 2:19, this talks about us. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So we're part of God's family. That's why we call each other brothers and sisters. And if you forget somebody's name, you can always say, hi, brother, or hi, sister. It helps as you get older. And we're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Man did not come up with this idea of the church. God did. Christ Himself being the cornerstone. Listen to this. In whom the whole structure is being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God by the Spirit. So we are all temples of the Holy Spirit, right? God dwells within us. But when we come together, There is a different dimension of the moving of the Holy Spirit. We build a dwelling place for God. Each of us like little stones and bricks. And as we give ourselves to the Lord, there's a dwelling place for the presence of God. That's why extraordinary things happen on Sundays, because of what the Scripture talks about here. Is it important for us to get together? Absolutely. How bad it is when you have a dwelling place and you're missing all these bricks. Okay? People who just don't take worshiping God together on Sundays is serious. Very serious that we come together. Paramount, of first importance. When I was first a Christian, of course, before I was a Christian, I was an agnostic. I thought Christianity and all religions were for weak people and hypocrites, and I wasn't going to be anyone. I was an honest sinner, okay, and I knew it. But when I came to Christ, he who loves the Father loves his children, the Bible says in 1 John 5. And so you begin to love the church, love the people in the church, grow in the knowledge of that. So that's what God wants us to do. Psalm 100, when we come together, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. God never meant our walk with him to be a religious heavy thing. It's the most joyful thing that can possibly be. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know the Lord, he is good. That's what Psalm 100 is talking about. That's what we do on Sundays. It's okay to clap. The Bible says, clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. You know, it's okay to shout sometimes in the service. I know there are churches that say we don't do that here. But here we do. You can get excited about the Lord. We can clap, we can dance. In fact, when we talk about this, we're going to find that the only book on worship that we have that gives us even an example of what God delights in is right here in the book of Psalms. That is the worship book of the Bible. What does Psalms say? We'll be talking about that. Okay, secondly, we exist to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Declaring his resurrection. Why is it so important to declare the resurrection of our Lord? Because Jesus had a lot of words. He had great teachings. But how do you know he was just not another man? Every religion in the world was started by a person. How do we know that Jesus was not just another person starting another religion? Why? Because he rose from the dead. Romans 1:6 says, when he rose from the dead, it declared that he was Almighty God incarnate, the Son of God. Jesus came to make the one true God known, and we know that now. Okay? And so we proclaim his resurrection. And after the resurrection, Jesus said, he wanted his disciples to declare throughout the whole earth, repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in my name, in his name, to all the nations beginning in Jerusalem. So notice, Jesus told his disciples to go and proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins. He didn't say, go tell people to believe in me, or go join in a circle and ask people to ask me into their heart. That's not what Jesus said. He said, you declare to them that they need to change their mind about God. Repentance means to change your mind. Repent and receive the forgiveness that God has for you, and you'll be saved. Wow, that's what we have. And we're to declare the gospel of the kingdom. That's what it says in Matthew 24. This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So it's not only the good news of committing our lives to Christ, but it's the gospel of the kingdom. And we're going to be talking about that. What does that mean? There are two kingdoms, the Bible says. There's the kingdom of darkness, and there's the kingdom of light. There's the kingdom that Satan is in control of, the god of this world, and there's the kingdom that Christ is in control of. There's only two. There is no middle earth, okay? There's Mordor over here, right? And you're either in one kingdom or the other. Either in one or the other. We're talking about a life, a realm of life that we enter into as a Christian that's different than the realm of life we knew before. In the kingdom of darkness, there's no understanding of God. There's religion, but there's not life. Religion is man's attempt to reach God. Christianity, through Christ, is God's reaching man. In the kingdom of darkness, you just rely on yourself. You make life what you want. That's it. There are very evil people, and there are some people that are not so evil. Everybody's in that kingdom of darkness. But they're groping for answers. But God, in all of his mercy, takes some out of the kingdom of darkness and puts them in the kingdom of light. That's what it says in Colossians 1. Transfers them into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. And when we get into this realm, it's a whole different realm than over there. In this realm, you have God and his word and his presence and his spirit. and His provision and His church and His community. Everything is different in this realm. So it's a gospel of the kingdom, the new realm of life. And we'll also study under that heading the power of prayer. Paul said, pray for us that a door might be opened for the word, that we might declare the mystery of Christ. Prayer is so important for us. What is prayer? And how do we see prayer open doors for the ministry of the word with people that we work with, people that we know in our communities? We're going to be talking about that. Power of prayer. When the gospel went to Samaria, persecution broke out in Jerusalem. So the early Jews went into Samaria. Think about this. These Jews who would never even touch the dirt of Samaria because of the strong prejudice towards those people. That's the kingdom of darkness. Your prejudice, racism, everything else in the kingdom of darkness. When God took those Jews and caused them to be born again, there went the prejudice and the racism. So now, when persecution broke out, they go into Samaria and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And it says in Acts chapter 8, there was great joy in the city of Samaria because the word of God had come to them and there were signs and wonders and healings in that city because Jesus Christ was alive. Isn't that awesome? That's what we have as Christians. We have so much to offer. But if we don't see what God wants to do through our lives, we tend to become religious and we forfeit the life that God has for us. How sad is that? So we worship the Lord. We exist to worship God, to celebrate His presence, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ wherever we go. Number three, we exist to learn what it means to consecrate our lives to Him through obedience to His word, to grow up, to become mature. When you come to Winter Park Christian, we pray that as long as you're here, you'll grow in the Lord. There are a lot of people who come and go in this church. Okay, in the 25 years I've been here, over 600 people that have been actively a part of this church have moved out of the valley. And it's just constant flow up here. That's part of our community. But we pray, if you're here for a while, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, that when you leave, you'll be much more mature in the Lord than when you came. Because we're called to grow up, right? Paul said in Colossians, Him we proclaim, warning every man and teaching every man with all wisdom that we might present everyone mature in Christ. Mature, grown up. He says, I strive for this with all the energy God inspires within me. Wow. So we want to grow up. The church I grew up in, the pastor would say oftentimes, he said, we want you to mature. God should not have to part your mustache, men, in order to put the baby bottle in. What a picture. It's time for you to be having meat, okay? Not still on the bottle. So how sad it is for people, and some of you may know people who've been around 20 years, they haven't changed at all. I know people, 25, 30 years, when I get with them, they're struggling with the same thing they were 30 years ago. How sad is that? You're wasting your life. God wants us to grow up. It's a big part of what we emphasize here. And how do we do that? Through knowing His Word and submitting to it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. That's where we get our term AWANA, the AWANA program. A workman should not be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And you notice what it says there, do your best. Are you giving it your best? Are you giving it your best to know God? If we have vision, if we see what God wants to accomplish, we'll give it our best. If we don't know, we're not going to do that. Are you giving it your best to know God's word and to know how to rightly handle it? It can be mishandled so easily. We need to know the whole counsel of God's word so we can rightly handle it, rightly represent God. We are to live a life worthy of His calling, understanding the greatness of the call of God in our life. And live a life worthy of that calling. You know, there we have a position that warrants a different life than we led before. Just like when someone becomes president of the United States. There's more expected of him than other people. He's a model and he's an example. Things that he did as a congressman, he can't do as a president. Because the position warrants a degree of integrity there. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Do we understand what that is? We're going to be looking into that. We are to follow Jesus as Lord. Jesus says, how can you call me Lord and not do what I tell you to do? I know people who say, I'm a Christian, I believe in God. You ever read the Bible? Not much. You're kidding yourself. If you think you're a Christ follower and not following the Word of God, you're following something, but you're not following Christ. We cannot call Him Lord unless we're doing what He taught us to do. And that motivation comes from His grace in our lives, from His presence in our life. And we yield to that and we embrace that. We're to walk in a new life. Turn over, you're there in Ephesians, turn over to Ephesians 4 while you're there. This is why this is a big part of our particular church fellowship. Growing up, because it's what God's Word tells us. Verses like this, Ephesians 4:17, Paul says to this Ephesian church, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity." But that is not the way you learn Christ. In other words, you used to be that way, but you're not to be that way anymore. There's a new life to live right now. Put away the old and get on with the new. He goes on to say, but this is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Wow. So there's a life to stop and there's a life to begin living in the realm of God, different kingdom. We'll look into that. So we're going to worship God, proclaim the good news, consecrate our lives to Him, and then finally commit ourselves to His service. Every one of us has a place to serve. We all have gifts and talents. Okay, and do you think that it's possible to waste our gifts and talents? You better believe it. The parable of the talents. One man buried his talent, the gift of God, buried it. And there are many Christians who bury their talents. Why? Because the gifts that they have, they're spending it on themselves rather than on others. Every gift that God gives us is not only for our benefit, it's primarily for the benefit of other people. How do we know that? Because of what God's Word says. First of all, we're created with a purpose. Most people know Ephesians 2:8, but not Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace you are saved. What's the next verse? Through faith. It's not of your own doing. It is a gift from God, not because of works, lest any man should. Okay, we know that one. Next verse. For we are created in Christ Jesus. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We got a job to do. We're here every day to do a job. We're part of God's kingdom, working in His kingdom. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, to each is given a gift, a manifestation of the Spirit. That's God revealing Himself through us. And what's it for? For our good? No, it's for the common good. It's for the good of others, not just for us. God equips us for His work. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And it goes on after that through His precious and very great promises in His Word again. So we have everything we need to be all that God has designed us to be and to use us to bless other people, to touch their lives. People who are not involved in other people's lives don't grow up because their walk with God is very selfish and self-centered. We're not going to be that way, right? All right, Ephesians 4 says, and God gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Okay, so first of all, we serve within the body of Christ, and then other scriptures talk about serving beyond, which is what our brothers and sisters are going down to Mexico right now too. But notice what it says here, what it doesn't say. He gives these gifts. It doesn't say to equip the staff for the work of ministry. That's very important to understand. He didn't do this to equip the staff for the work of ministry, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So when we come together and when we learn, we're being equipped to go out and serve. That's why we're here. If we don't have that vision, that understanding, we develop a, what we call in Italian, che sarà, sarà. What will be, and it's a whatever mentality. Because for lack of vision, people cast off restraints. But when we see that God has a plan for me and a purpose in my life to use for His glory and kingdom, I give myself to that because it's worth it. It's a life worth living. And Jesus Himself set us the example when He said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." Oh, we all like to be served, don't we? How many like to go out to eat rather than cook? I mean, we like to be served, and we get upset when we're not served quickly. That's American mentality. We have to fight that, because any time we serve, it costs us time and energy, finances, self-sacrifice. There is no serving that's done without self-sacrifice, right? And we're going to be talking about that. The reason we have all the ministries we have in this church, and if you're going to be a part of our church, out on the little foyer there, information table, you can get a booklet and it'll tell you the ministries we have in the church. And the reason we have all those ministries is because people give themselves to the work of the Lord. We have about 40 leaders over ministries here and a whole bunch of worker bees that make those ministries go. Praise God for that. It's not our staff that does the work of the ministries. We can't keep up with the body hardly for the work of the ministry that's going on. That's what needs to be. So as you come, whenever people come to our church, we say, check it out first. Before you get involved in serving, go to life groups, go to Sunday schools, be here at Sunday services, talk to the elders, talk to the leaders, find out about the church to see if this is a place where you want to come. If I were looking for a church at this time, where we are in America, I would check it out. Check out the finances, what we do with our finances and our missions. I think that's really important to do. We have a financial statement. You can call the church. You can get all the financial statement where every penny goes in this church. It's open to the public. We have an independent audit every year, an audit review, that's done by a non-Christian company that comes to our church just to make sure that we have financial integrity here. And we do that on purpose. And by the way, we have no debt in this church. When we built this facility, we built it with no debt. In fact, during the time we built the facility, we increased our missions giving during that time. God is good. Those who wait upon the Lord. The problem is in America, we hate to wait. So we don't have to wait. We can charge it. Okay. Anyway, we'll get into that later on. But there's a lot going on here. Okay. This coming summer, we have children's ministries, youth ministries, sports camp. If some of you like to coach, we have a sports camp, an evangelistic outreach to this whole community this summer. We also have a vacation Bible school coming up in 3 weeks. We never had a vacation Bible school for years here because we didn't have anyone to organize it. But we finally got Sandy Jones and others, Sarah Payne and others, and they do. And we do a vacation Bible school. We probably have 100 volunteers to put that on. And we serve 100 kids a day here for our vacation Bible school. It's very difficult to find people during the week that have time in the mornings to do this. So in your notes, there's a flyer there that tells you about things we still need. We have most all of our teachers now, but we also need assistant teachers. We need somebody on Friday night just to help serve hot dogs, okay, on the Friday night. We have a missions emphasis with the VBS where we take the offerings and we give it to missions, and we just need someone to coordinate that. Listen to Bible verses. There's a lot of areas to serve. If you can, we still need help, so make sure that you contact Sarah Payne and on that flyer there. But a lot of areas to serve. We have a Christian school here. We're going in our 10th year. Lots of volunteer opportunities for that. We are made to give. Freely you've been given. Freely what? Keep it to yourself. No, freely give. We need to have inflow and outflow. When you have the Word of God coming in, you have a way to get that Word out. That's where the life of Christ is. Otherwise, we become dead inside and ingrown. So, these are things we're going to be talking about this summer, so that at the end of summer, somebody says, well, what that church is all about, you can say, Winter Park Christian Church, WPCC, we exist to worship God, to proclaim the good news, to consecrate our lives to Him and mature, and to commit ourselves to His service. That's what we exist to do, to the glory of God, right? Ability to see what God desires to accomplish in our lives is paramount to our walk with God. And to the joy, as he says, serve the Lord with gladness. Oh, what a joy to walk with the Lord. You don't get bored when you walk with the Lord, right? Praise God. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for this morning and just for the truth of your word. And oh God, forgive us for times when we just grumble and complain and we allow ourselves to get into a dark pit. Lord, you haven't called us to some religious obligation. You've called us to life. Jesus, you came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Help us to see what that is. Increase our vision, O God, in every way, and we thank you for this. Cause us to see what you see, what you want to accomplish through our lives, individually and corporately. And we give you thanks for that, Lord. We give you praise. And if, in closing here, if there's anybody in this room or listening to this message by another means, and you, maybe the Holy Spirit has spoken to you today, you'd have to say, you know, I'm a believer in God, but I've never really surrendered my life to Him, committed to Him as Lord, turned away from my old life. If you're in this room, we want to talk to you about what that means, to give your life to Jesus Christ, to come into the new realm of the kingdom of God. If you're listening to this message by another means, you can right now in your heart call upon the Lord. The Bible says if we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord, He's in control of my life, and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, that He was Almighty God incarnate, we will be saved. It's a promise from God. You can come into the kingdom. This may be your day to give your life to the Lord. Don't hesitate. Don't wait another day. Thank you for this, Lord. Oh God, now be honored with this last song as we lift up your glory, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Let's all stand. We're going to sing this last song in closing here.